So the reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 52, reading verses 7 to 10, and it can be found on page 739. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning's gospel reading is taken from John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, and can be found on the screens in front of you or on page 1063 of the Church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who do receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please do take a seat. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this Christmas morning. We thank you that we can gather here in your name to worship you. And Lord, we thank you that we don't do it in our own strength, but we do it because of that first Christmas. Because you broke into the darkness, bringing your glorious light. So, Lord, we pray this Christmas you would break into our darkness, that you would bring light into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, happy Christmas. As Fiona said, my name is Adam, I'm the vicar of St. Paul's. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you this morning from these two passages, one from the prophet Isaiah and the other from the Gospel of John, the good news of Jesus as told by his disciple John. That passage in John is actually one of my favourite passages in the whole Bible. It's full of rich, rich theology and ideas, but more than that, it's full of excitement. It's full of anticipation. It's full of longing. There's so much in it that, quite frankly, we could delay the beginning of the 10:30 service if we liked. But actually, this morning, I want to focus on the Isaiah 52 passage. It's maybe a little more unfamiliar to those of us who are in church regularly. Those who've been to Christmas services may have heard it before. But when I read it for the first time, much as Carol just did, excellently, may I say, I misunderstood exactly what Isaiah was saying. And as I read the passage further, as I studied it, and I started to see what was happening here, what John was saying in the prologue to his gospel started to make more sense. What John was trying to convey in his feelings and his emotion started to speak louder to me. So I'd like to share some of those thoughts with you this morning. Because when I first read this, and I read just how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who publish peace and who bring good news and happiness, I have to confess, I had an image of Julie Andrews in my head. I was there, in my head, this is a Christmas movie, because it was when I was a child growing up, The Sound of Music was always on the television at Christmas. And I just had that image of her in the opening scenes of the movie, prancing across the Austrian Alps, flinging her arms wide and singing, shall I do it, Tim? I'll step away from the microphone though. The hills are alive with the sound of music. And just so you know, that's absolutely nothing like what Isaiah had in mind when he wrote this. That's not the kind of beauty that he was talking about. That's not the kind of good news that he was thinking of. You see, when Isaiah wrote this passage, he was writing it to the city of Jerusalem during a siege. The nations surrounding Israel had come, they'd plundered the countryside, they'd attacked the cities, and now they were heading for Jerusalem. The city was basically in lockdown. People couldn't come and go. The walls had been closed, the gates had been shut. The army had gone out to face the approaching enemy. And those who were left in the city were left to wait. To wait with no mobile phones. To wait with no internet. To wait, horror of horrors, with no television or radio. They couldn't even listen to the Queen's speech at 3 o'clock. They had no way of knowing how it was going, how the battle was progressing, what was going on. They were in complete darkness. And quite frankly, they were feeling quite hopeless and full of despair. They would daily have prayers in the temple, asking God to come and to act on their behalf, to fight. God, the Lord of the heaven's armies, would come and fight on their behalf, would save the city, would save his chosen people. And then they would also set watchmen on the walls and on the towers. And the watchman would look out. I don't know if you've been to Jerusalem, but actually the old city of Jerusalem is quite low down and it's surrounded on all sides by hills. And the watchman would stand looking at the hills around Jerusalem, scouring the horizon, not knowing what they were going to see. Knowing what they were hoping for, but not knowing what they were waiting for. What would they see coming over those hills? Would it be a triumphant Israelite army returning home, having defended the city with God's help? Would it be the oppressing army advancing? Would it be a bedraggled nation running back for the safety of the walls? So we find the city on tenterhooks, waiting to see what will happen. And then all of a sudden, one man, one watchman sees one man coming over one of the hills. He's coming as fast as he can. Is that a skip in his step? Is it good news? Is he stumbling because he's weary from the defeat of battle? And as he gets closer, they hear him calling out, "Good news, good news. Our God saves." I'm quite a big fan of Monty Python. And I have in my head at this point, one of the watchmen turning to another of the watchmen and going, "What did he say? Sing the blues?" Somebody's been used. But no, he was shouting good news. And when they realized, word went around the walls as fast as anything, Isaiah tells us. One watchman told another, who told another, who told another, until we read in verse 9, they break forth together singing that the Lord has comforted his people, that he has redeemed Jerusalem. Joy fills the city. They haven't seen the battle. They haven't seen the victory. The army hasn't returned home yet. But this one man has come. And he's brought rejoicing to the whole city. God has come, he says, to set his people free. And for the city that day, it all started with the arrival of this one man. Fast forward 700 years or so, and you find the nation of Israel once more in captivity. In fact, they've had many hundreds of years of captivity, either at the hands of the Assyrians or the Persians or the Greeks or the Romans. They've prayed and they've called out to God to save them, to rescue them, to redeem them time and time again. And it seems like God isn't listening. In fact, their last prophet spoke some 400 years before. It seems like God isn't speaking to them anymore. Communication has gone down. The Wi-Fi, as this computer keeps telling us this morning, is broken. I love technology, I do. There's silence, there's darkness, there's hopelessness, there's despair. The nation's wondering if God will come. Their prophets have said that he will, that he would send the Messiah, the anointed one, who will rescue them. And they're watching, waiting with whatever hope they have left. When will he come? How will he come? Will he come at the head of God's armies? Will he come with power from on high? Will he descend through the clouds as the prophet Daniel suggested he might? Well, when he actually came, he came as a baby, born in a quiet little town just outside Jerusalem to a young woman and her husband. And the only place they could find to lay the baby was in a manger, because the houses were full of guests. He didn't come with any pomp and ceremony, but as John puts it in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God had come. And he hadn't come in a magnificent way. He hadn't come in a glorious way. He hadn't come in a showy way. He had come in a very real and human way. He had become a baby boy to live with a normal family, to do the things that normal baby boys do as they grow up. He came quietly, but even that first Christmas night, the rejoicing began. God couldn't keep it completely quiet as he sent those angels to the shepherds on the side of the hill. Shepherds were basically the outcasts of society. To be a shepherd, you really loved your sheep. You spent all your time with your sheep. You ate with your sheep. You slept with your sheep. You washed with your sheep, if you washed at all. But God sent these shepherds to tell them the good news. And we hear that they went away rejoicing. And so it has been for the last 2,000 years that one Christian after the next has told one another the good news of the coming of the King. The good news that God has come to set his people free. And though maybe we haven't seen the battle, maybe we didn't watch the victory, we can hear about it. The good news that began with the arrival of one baby. This morning, I'm so tired. Nighttime, by the way, for me will be about midday when I roll back home. My wife puts a cup of tea in my hand and I try and drink it before it falls off my lap. So this morning, as we gather, some of us might be feeling hopeless and full of despair. We might wonder, where is God in this world? In a world where just before Christmas, a volcano can erupt and a tsunami can kill many hundreds of people. In a year when international politics seems to have gone crazy, when nations are falling out with nations, when there's war and poverty and hunger across the world, where is God, we ask ourselves. And Christmas is our reminder that through Christian experience for many centuries, we know that Jesus hasn't finished visiting his people. We know that he comes still into our lives today and lives with us. He comes into the muck and into the mess. He comes and joins the shepherds and the magi. I like to call them magi because they were neither kings nor wise. They were slightly quirky, mad old geezers from the east. You might feel that describes one or two of you. I don't know. But he comes and joins us to celebrate and to mourn. And he is the sign that God has come to set his people free. That the victory has been won. That though we see darkness around us, the light is shining and it is burning brighter and brighter and brighter. So we gather this morning to rejoice because he has come. He is coming and he will come to set his people free. I want to finish by reading that prologue to John's Gospel to you again. But maybe you'd like to shut your eyes and imagine yourself in the darkness. Imagine yourself in the quiet, wondering if God is going to speak, if he is going to come. And listen to the words of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all people might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who do receive him this Christmas, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. For the Word became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.